Mention this, not everything in the world is sinful. There are some good things in the world. But a lot of things in the world are designed to detract us and to pull us away. 1 Corinthians 10:13, let's say that all together. Everybody got their place there, 1 Corinthians 10:13? All right, here we go, all together. 1 Corinthians 10:13, there hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. 1 Corinthians 10:13. Father, bless now the next moments that we have in our Sunday school hour. Lord, help us to gain a more of an understanding about the world and what you want to do with us being in the world, even though we're not of the world. Thank you for loving us, Lord. Bless now in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. 1 Corinthians 10:31. And we left off talking about how the Lord Jesus Christ knows that we're in the world and we're not of the world, but we're in the world and we can have victory over the world. But sometimes the world actually is a place where you and I can get tested. Amen. Why do our children go to school? They can learn. And how do we gauge their learning? By testing. By quizzes, amen. They have their homework to do, which they despise. And don't you know that most of the time when the children have homework to do, their test will come from the homework, some way, shape, fashion, or form, amen. And then when they have their homework, the quiz normally has most of the answers right there from the homework. And then after you have a quiz, normally most of the test material comes from the, you guessed it, quiz, amen. And it's the same way with the world. God has us in the world, we're not of the world, and we have homework in the world. We've got to go out in the world. We've got to do things in the world. We've got to shop in the world. We've got to work in the world, amen. And that we have these tests. We have family members that we have to go to that are in the world, amen. And that's sort of like our homework, amen. Then we'll have those quizzes. And now what's like a quiz? A little minor emergency that comes up to see how you're going to behave yourself in the world. You may have a flat or something like that. You may break down or whatever. 13 people call off of work and things like that. And that's like a quiz. Amen. And we had to find out how we're going to do on the quiz. Now, if we did good on the homework, guess what? The quiz we should do pretty good on.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Yes, sir. Then comes the test.
Oh, boy.
What's the test like? Serge?
5 months without my car.
That's a trial, brother. Amen. That's past the test. Amen. A test or a trial. Amen. 5 months without a car. When you should have had it in how much time?
30 days.
In 30 days. 30 days or 5 months. Which would you prefer? Well, I think the price would be right for 30 days. Amen. And that can be a real big test for you.
Yeah.
So what happens? We've got the homework in the world. Then we got a quiz in the world. Then we get a test in the world. All designed to see how we're going to maintain. Can we have victory over the world? Yes.
Yes, we can.
The verse says, there is no temptation taking you, but such as is common to man. But God is what? Faithful. Who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able. So when the quizzes and the homework and the tests come, we have the ability to overcome. The question is, are we going to use the knowledge from the homework and the knowledge from the quiz to pass the test? Shane is looking because he's about to start school. It's like, don't remind me of homework already. Amen. Not even fall yet. Amen. So that's what we're looking at here. Let's fill in some blanks here, and then we'll talk about a few more things this morning in regards to victory over the world. Because the fact remains that you and I are in the world. That's a given. We're in the world. We're not of the world. So God does not expect us to operate like the world. By the way, does the world expect us to operate like the world?
No.
Most of them don't. If we name the name of Christ, they know we should be different. They don't know how different we should be. But if we name the name of Christ, there should be certain things about us that they expect. Mm-hmm. They don't expect us to curse. They don't expect us to drink.
Yep.
They don't expect us to lie. They don't expect us to be covetous. They know the Ten Commandments, mm-hmm. even though they don't keep them.
Right.
They expect you to keep them. Yep. And if you name the name of Christ, they really want to be around you for certain reasons. They know you're not going to steal from them. They know you're not going to lie to them. They know you're not going to curse them out. They know you're not going to play obnoxious, obscene music. At least you shouldn't.
Amen.
There's certain things about you that the world really does like. Co-workers like the fact that you're going to be on time. You're going to work hard. You're going to work the best. Because that's what Christians do. And so they like that. The bosses like that. When don't the bosses like Christians? What is that, sis?
When you're always bringing something up that you really shouldn't do things that way.
You bring up convicting things?
Always, trying to, change their way they do things.
When they're being sinful, Fred? When you ask for Wednesday and Sunday, yeah, they definitely don't like that, amen. Yeah, Diana? Amen, when they ask you something that goes against your convictions, or they ask you something and it's wrong, amen. When else doesn't the world like you, or your bosses like you? Because most times they like Christians. Yes, sir? When you witness to them. Give the gospel is good for you, but don't push it off on me. Yes, Diana? Amen. Amen. And that's hypocritical, and it can be confusing as well. So oftentimes the bosses do like the Christian. The dilemma that I had being a Christian was because my work ethic, nobody wanted to give me any kind of perks. I couldn't do this or couldn't do that. I couldn't go here because my boss didn't want me to be gone. Because nobody worked like I worked. And I was like, well, get Joe to do it, or get Bobby to do it. No, you've seen how Bobby works. Well, fire him then. Don't hold me hostage because he I'm like, come on now, work with me. Well, Bobby's not a good worker. Well, write him up or something. Oh, he's never on time. He's not responsible. Sounds like eviction notice to me. So now I can't go over here and perform this thing here because you don't want me to be gone because Bobby is a bad worker. I'm like, come on, man. I actually had one of my bosses, I had a chance for a lateral move that was going to be better for me with the gospel and things like that. And my boss said, no, I can't let you go. And I said, why? He said, I will never find anybody to replace you. That's not my problem. But I'm like, so if I work like a person that doesn't care, then you let me go? He'd probably kick me out then. I said, sir, you know that's not fair. Yeah. I said, you know that's not fair. He said, but you got to understand my side. The work production that you put out and what you do, now my reputation is going to be at stake if somebody comes in and doesn't do what you do. It's like, and again, and that's my problem? I'm like, no, I can quickly fix that. I can go and work like Bobby. I can show up like Bobby. I can do the things that Bobby does. Now, would that fix it? Then would you give me? Then I'd write you up because I know you're capable of more.
Catch 22.
So oftentimes the bosses do like you until, amen. And they will hold you closely, as a matter of fact. Amen. All right. So let's fill in a couple blanks here before we go on. We've already covered the first part of that. Faith in God's purpose is Roman numeral 1. God's purpose is according to his timetable. And then we saw God's purpose is always trustworthy. And we left off on that first one there. And then Roman numeral 2, and we'll talk about these this morning. Faith in God's precepts. Faith in God's precepts. Then A is trusting his commandments proves our love. And then trusting his commandments provides us strength. Trusting his commandments provides us strength. Okay. So we got Roman numeral 2, faith in God's precepts. Then A, trusting his commandments proves our loves. Then B, trusting his commandments provides us strength. Okay. I want to go back and finish up with the first one that we started, Roman numeral 1, faith in God's purpose. And we talked about the world and the victory over the world. If we're going to have victory in and over the world, we've got to have faith in God's purpose. And God has a purpose for each and every one of us. Now, the problem with the purpose is that we're in the world trying to fulfill that purpose. Okay? That is the problem. Miss Katie's got a God's will for her life. Jeff's got God's will for his life. Tasha's got God's will for her life. And Brother Duffy and so on and so on, so forth. So God has a purpose for each one of us. Now, what is the ultimate purpose for us according to Romans 8, 28 and 29? To witness, yes, but the ultimate goal, according to Romans 8, 28, let's look at that, 8, 28, 29. The ultimate purpose for God's goal for you and I. Because we're in the world and God has something for us to do. But we're in the world. That makes it a little tougher. Romans 8, 28 and 29. 28, this is on my desk, and we know that all things work together for good. To them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Now, verse 29 is the actual purpose God has for us. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be what? Conformed to the image of his son. So in other words, the ultimate purpose for you and I is to look like Christ. Now, he puts us in the world, which makes it difficult. It makes it real difficult because now I'm in a place where most people don't live for God. But then what should that do for me? If most people don't live for God and I'm in the world with these people, what should that do for me? It makes me stand out more. There should be a big contrast between them and between me. And who should they begin to see more of? Christ in me. Why? Because it says now I'm conformed to his image. I'm to be conformed to his image. That he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Okay. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, then he also called. Whom he called, he also justified. Him he justified, them he also glorified. So we know what's going to be the end result. And so there is a purpose. And now it said this in A, God's purpose is according to his timetable. That's key. We looked at Ecclesiastes. He made all things beautiful in whose time?
His time.
It's not time for us to be before it's time for us to be. Does that make sense? Okay. God is taking us along. Now, let's go back to school. Shane, how would you feel if the first day of school you had your 9-week exam? You haven't had any homework. You haven't had any quizzes. And they said, here's your 9-week exam, Shane. There you go. And then you flunked it.
Oh, no.
What was that? You dropped the class. Amen. You would say, that's unfair. Why? It's not time for me to be at this level yet. I've got to do my homework. I've got to read. I've got to take these quizzes. You've got to give me some feedback. Amen. And then I can take this 9-week exam. So for many of us, we know that we're going to be conformed to the image of Christ, but it's not time for us to be certain things right now. Now, should we be more like Christ day by day? Yes, little by little. Okay. And so he's going to make all things beautiful in his time. When Jesus comes back, we're going to be boom. Just like that. Oh, amen. Praise God. No more training school. Amen. It's over. Okay. So God's purpose, according to his timetable, God is going to take us through some difficult circumstances to get us to look more like himself. Now think about it. Was Jesus Christ himself tempted by Satan to prove who and what he was? Not to Jesus, not to God, but to the devil and to the world. Okay. I like what they say in the book. They said that in the difficult times, God is working just as surely as he is in easy times. Overcoming faith requires that we trust God even when we do not see or understand what he's doing. Interesting. Amen. Are we going to always understand what God's doing? No. Classic example of that is Job. But what does Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6 say? Trust in the Lord with what? All thine heart. And lean not to what? Thine own understanding. And all thy ways acknowledge who? Acknowledge him. And what is he going to do? Direct my path. Does that count even when I have this homework to do in the world? Yes. Even when I have these quizzes in the world? Yes. Even when I have these tests in the world? Yes. Even when Shane shows up the first day and gets a 9-week exam? Yes. And your trust, Shane, would say, drop the class. This is going to be an unfair class already. Amen. And it could be that Shane, the teacher, wanted you to come and talk to him and say, hey, look, Why are you doing this? Now everybody dropped the class. The teachers want you to come and talk with them, see if you're going to open up a dialogue. Amen. It could be, that could be the test.
Yes, sir, Pastor.
Let's see who really has the communication is going to come to the teacher and talk to the teacher and say, hey, teacher, this is not fair. What's going on? Why are we doing it this way? And why am I taking a 9-week exam and I haven't had one day of work? It could be. And that could be the whole reason why the teacher did it, to see who's going to actually be the communicator and who's going to drop the class and go someplace else. You never know. But Proverbs is very clear that God wants to do something in our lives, and he wants us to trust him and his timetable. And by the way, faith, trusting God's plan and God's timetable rather than in what we can figure out. Can we figure out God? No. I mean, we wake up every day and we've got our plans laid out, and it doesn't go the way we planned. And we think, God, why? Because we can't figure God out. Do you know it's not our job to figure God out?
No, it isn't. How about that, Pastor?
It's not our job to figure God out and say, God, I can't figure out. Now, if you could figure God out, he wouldn't be much of a God, would he?
No, he wouldn't.
Amen.
Why do we keep trying?
we continue to try. It's that Adam syndrome we have. Amen. You know, now, in all fairness, don't our children try to figure us out?
Yes.
And do our children understand us? No.
No, they don't.
They don't have an idea what we're trying to do. I mean, they don't have a clue. They don't understand why we want them to go to bed early, why we want them to eat vegetables, why we want them to eat fruit, why we want them to get exercise, why we don't want them to watch too much television, why there's certain programs they can't watch. In their minds, they're like, what are you doing? What is the meaning of all this? And you said, I told you you wouldn't understand anyway. Amen. But yet and still, we try to figure God out. Well, God, I don't understand you. Well, I hope not. Now, there's certain things we should understand. Yes. Certain things we should. And so God has a timetable that he's trying to work in our lives. And I like this. It says, believing God, even when we do not see or understand what he is doing, is what faith is all about.
Oh, I like that.
Amen. Read it again. Believing God, even when we do not understand or see what he is doing, is what faith is all about. It's easy to believe God's purpose when we see things coming together.
Yep.
But we need faith in the difficult days. Amen. That's why the author of Hebrews said it this way in Hebrews 12:1, let us run with patience the race that is set before us. We cannot have an overcoming faith unless we are willing to wait and trust the timing of God. Amen. My wife and I could not understand why it took us 20 years to have children. Her sisters, you looked at them the wrong way and they popped up pregnant. And we thought, and they didn't even want kids. And I'm thinking, every time you look at them, one of them is pregnant. And, you know, here, poor Carmen, she can't get it. What's wrong? Lord, what's wrong with us? What about our timetable? We don't want to wait till we're Methuselah to have kids. Methuselah, seemed like that was what happened, though. Amen. Amen. So God's purpose is according to his timetable. And so whilst we are in the world, God has a timetable, and he's leaving us in certain places in the world for a reason. To look more like Jesus Christ. And so we've got to make sure that we can overcome the world. The second part, B, God's purpose is always trustworthy. We have to be trustworthy that his timetable is accurate.
Yes.
Amen. Sometimes we don't like God's timetable. My wife and I, we did not like God's timetable when it came to having kids. We did not like it. Now, did we have to accept it? Yes, we did.
Yes.
Yes, we did.
Yes.
But God's purpose is always trustworthy. So we look at his timetable. We look at his purpose. So, Lord, we know you've got a purpose. I'm in the world, and you want me to function in the world. You've got this timetable that I'm going to be in the world. But also, you want me to trust you whilst I'm in the world and trust you through the homework and through the quizzes and through all the tests that I'm going to take. It says we can trust that God knows what is best for us and loves us enough to give us his best. By the way, it's easy to jump ship and not be satisfied with God's timetable.
Yep.
Shane, many a folk will do exactly what you said, not with their class, but with life. I'm going to drop this because I'm sick of God's timetable. I don't understand God's timetable, or I don't trust that God's going to work this out. So I'm going to drop this. Whatever it is, I'm going to drop it. I'm going to drop my Bible reading. I'm going to drop coming to church. I'm going to drop giving. I'm going to drop being kind. I'm going to drop loving my wife. I'm going to drop loving my husband. I'm going to drop it. Why? Because I don't understand God's timetable, nor do I trust God to work.
Amen, Pastor.
And so that's the last thing you want to do. By the way, God did not just save us to take us to heaven. Did y'all know that?
That's right, Pastor. He did.
If that was the case, he would have took us to heaven right away.
That's right. He would.
Amen. God has a plan for you and I here on earth, and he wants to work in your life. By the way, go to Philippians chapter 1, verse 6. Show you this. Because there is more meaning in our life than just taking us to heaven. Now, that's a part of it. Philippians 1, 6. Let me get somebody to read that when you get there. Philippians 1, 6. Who's there? Philippians 1, 6. Go ahead, Gary.
Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath began good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ.
Amen. So we've got to recognize that although we're in this world and God is working, God has a purpose for us, we have to be confident that God began it and God's going to complete it.
Amen.
Amen. Now, it's not going to get complete until A, he comes to get me, or until B, I die. One of the two. But he is working in us. And he leaves us in the world to do that. By the way, if he doesn't leave us in the world, where else is he going to leave us?
That's a good question.
Where else could he leave us? I mean, you can't survive on Venus.
No, you can't.
You can't survive on Mars.
Purgatory,
and hope somebody will pray you out. Amen.
Amen.
If he doesn't leave us here, where else can he leave us? So we've got to be here.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Amen.
And so whilst we're here, he's got this purpose for us. He's got a timetable for us, and he wants us to do some things while we're here. And by the way, that's how he's conforming us to his image, by the things that we go through with the homework and the quiz and the tests. And I like this. It says, we can have complete confidence in God's plan to make us more like Jesus Christ. The opposite of faith is fear.
Whoa.
And it says, someone said, fear is a self-imposed prison that will keep you from becoming what God intends for you to be. Wow.
Wow. That's incredible.
Maybe it's a fear to step out and tithe. Maybe it's a fear to give faith promise. Maybe it's a fear to go soul winning. Maybe it's a fear to read your Bible and study your Bible. Maybe it's a fear to be kind. Maybe it's a fear to sacrifice and surrender. Maybe it's a fear, I don't know, to raise your children God's way. There's fears. Maybe I don't want to give myself totally to my husband or my wife because they may take advantage of me like somebody else in the past did. There's so many fears out there. Okay. And so Roman numeral one says we got to have faith in God's purpose. God has left us in the world. He's got a timetable for us. He wants us to trust him as well. And so Roman numeral two, faith in God's precepts. If I'm in the world and God's got a purpose for me, God's got to have precepts for me.
Yeah.
Go over to Matthew chapter number four. Matthew chapter number four. If God has got me in the world, then he's got to have some precepts for me to go along with my purpose. Matthew chapter number four. Of course, this is the temptation of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, in times of struggle, you and I must come to the word of God for our guidance and our direction. We cannot find God's leading to overcome the world apart from the Bible.
Yes, sir.
I notice down here in verse number three, and the devil said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, command this stone that it may be made bread. Jesus answered him, saying, it is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. So what did Jesus have faith in? God's word, the precepts. He had faith in God's word. He knew that this is the word of God. The word of God is that which can keep me stable. It can keep me standing. And if I obey it, it will actually give me the strength that I need. Okay, why? I've got a purpose. What was Jesus' purpose? His main purpose coming?
Save the world.
I'm going to come. I'm going to die for this. It's going to be buried and raised. He knew his purpose. He knew his timetable. And he knew he could trust God. And so when he come over here to Roman numeral 2, he had faith in the word of God. He knew that if I can just abide by this word in this world, I can make it. By the way, if you and I can just abide in the word in the world, we can make it. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. What normally happens to us? We don't abide in the word whilst we're in the world, and the world overcomes us.
Yep.
Because we got to step outside the word whilst we're in the world, then you're on Satan's turf. And you don't want to play ball Satan's game. He's the umpire.
Oh, yeah.
He'll get you out in a heartbeat. Amen.
It
says here, when the famous pioneer missionary David Livingstone began his first trek across Africa, He had 73 books with him. As he traveled from place to place, the load of the satchels became so heavy that he started giving books away. One book at a time, his library dwindled until he reached the end of his journey with one book left. Guess which book it was? His Bible. His Bible. That was the one book he could not do without. If all we have is God's word, then we have all we need. President George Washington said this: it is impossible to righteously govern the world without God and the Bible.
That's right.
George Washington said that.
That's good, Pastor. Read
that again. He said, it is impossible to righteously, now notice that, to righteously govern, because a lot of men try to govern.
Mm-hmm.
And we're talking about righteously according to the word of God.
Yes, sir, Pastor.
It is impossible to righteously govern the world without God and the Bible. And so we must place our faith in the scriptures as a way to build our faith. And so we've got to have faith in God's precepts. And so A is trusting his commandments proves our love. Now, what do you say? If you love me, you'll keep my what?
Commandments.
Commandments. And his commandments are not grievous.
Right.
And so now if I'm in the world and my purpose is in the world for a certain timetable and I've got to trust God and I'm trusting his precepts, then I've got to make sure that I am doing this because I love him, not because I want to get out of trouble.
Right. That's right, Pastor. That's right.
Amen.
Amen.
Now think about it. Your children have two options to obedience.
Mm-hmm.
To not get a spanking or because they love you. For most of them, it is to not get a spanking, or to not get disciplined, or to not get chastened, or to not get dealt with. When do they start getting to the part where they do it because they love you?
When they want something.
Well, yeah, well, that's not really their love, amen. The motive is not there, amen. When do they get to that point where they say, okay, I'm doing this because I love you, and it's not because you're going to discipline me? What normally goes on in a child's life to get them to that point? Rose? Okay, that's a part of it.
Amen.
That's a part of it. There's an M word. Maturity. As they start maturing in their relationship and they understand what mom and dad is doing is for their benefit, and to help them, they start doing it because they love the parent.
Yes, sir.
Not to get out of trouble or not to get disciplined or something like that. They begin to realize, mom and dad's trying to protect me. Now, spending time with them goes in with that, you know, because now they understand. And that's a lot of what Sam Davis is going to talk about on the video tonight, spending time with a child and making sure that they understand that, hey, look, I understand what you're going through right now. But guess what? Mom knows best right now. They are not going to do that. It's the same way with God. We can start proving his commandments by our love the more we mature and learn about him. Are we in the world? Fact, we are in the world.
Yes.
Are we in the world for a certain timetable? Yes, we are. Does God want us to trust him? Yes, he does.
He knows.
How are we going to do that? By proving our love to him by doing what he has called us to do.
Amen.
And that's how it's going to work. Amen. We demonstrate our love for God when we trust and obey the commandments of his word. By the way, if we are a professing Christian but are living outside the precepts of the word of God, we're leaving ourselves open to an attack by Satan on our confidence in his word. Why? I'm still in the world. And where does Satan operate best?
In
the world.
Now,
does he operate pretty good with the word, too? Oh, yeah. He'll manipulate it. He'll twist it. He'll make it say what it doesn't want to say or what it doesn't say. He'll take it out of context.
Yeah.
But his best field is working with you in the world.
Yes, sir.
That's his best field. Your verse down in Psalm 119, 168, I have kept thy precepts and thy testimonies for all my ways are before thee.
Yeah.
Psalm 119, 68. By the way, when we trust the word of God as our guide for living, it builds faith and confidence in our hearts that we have a God in whom we can trust to meet the challenges and temptations of the world. Why? Jesus did it. Notice what it says down there. Go down to verse number 5. And the devil, taking him into an high mountain, showed unto him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said unto him, all this power will I give thee, and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will, I give it.
Mm-hmm.
Notice this. If thou therefore wilt worship me, all shall be thine. Jesus answered and said unto him, what? Get thee behind me, Satan. For it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. So again, on the second temptation, what did Jesus hold high? God's word. So he had faith in the precepts. He proved his love of God by holding the precepts high. And he did exactly what he was supposed to do. Amen. By the way, it says trusting his commandments provides us strength as well. The Bible says clearly, there hath no temptation take you but such as is common to man. But God is what?
Faithful.
Faithful. If I know God's word, do I know a way out? Yes. Because God always gives a way out to bear it or to endure it. When don't I know the way out? When I don't know the word, I don't claim his promises. Now, any good parent is going to give their child exactly the directions they need to have. Are we going to give them all the fine points? No. But we're going to give them what they need. Now, I've been guilty of this. All right, go downstairs and get such and such. It's over here, and over here. Look behind that, and you'll find it. Now, why can I give that type of a command to my child? What would they? Well, they will forget half of it. But why can I give them a direct command as to where the location of this thing is that I want them to go get? Yeah, Taryn? Now, that's true. But my point I'm getting at this. Why can I tell them exactly where to look for this item that I want them to go get? I know where it's at. All they have to do is do what? Obey. Follow my direction. That's all they have to do. If they just go downstairs and look. Now, if your children are anything like my children, what happens on the way down to get item A? They get sidetracked. Little Susie's over here, or little Johnny's over here, or they see their favorite toy over here. Or when they open up the cabinet, they see cookies, or they see them, and they get sidetracked. That's just like you and I. God in his word says, do this, do this, do this. Along the way, we get sidetracked by the world. The world says, ooh, look at bright lights and glitter. Ooh, bright lights and glamour. Ooh, look at this. We're like, ooh. And we get mad at our kids.
Oh, yeah.
And what do we know? So-and-so, what's taking you so long down there? Or worse, you sneak up on them and see what they're doing.
Oh, there you go, Pastor.
They're sitting down reading a book or something that they found on the way. Uh-huh. What are you doing?
What are you doing?
Why are you in this cabinet when I told you to go to that cabinet? Well, I saw bright lights over on that cabinet. I saw this over in that cabinet. That's just like us.
Yes.
God knows where we need to go. Are we in the world? Yes.
Yes.
Are we going to be in the world for a timetable? Yes. Does he want us to trust us in the world? Yes. Does he want us to have faith in his precepts? Yes. Mm-hmm. But to have faith in the precept, now I've got to actually prove my love by following the precept.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Jesus here is following the precepts. He says, get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou what? Serve. He said, I'm not getting caught up in your trick. I'm not going to do that. Now, he gave him straight up the word of God, the precept. Amen. And so when you look at this faith in God's precept, trusting his command, it proves my love, but also it provides me strength. The only thing I got to do is God said it.
Amen.
That settles it. Amen. Amen. They used to say, God said it, I believe it, and that settles it. No.
Yes,
God
sir.
Said it, and that settles it.
Yes, sir, Pastor.
You know, say, God said, let there be light. Whether you believe it or not, guess what? There is light.
There is light.
You can say, I don't believe there's light. Open your eyes. Amen. Knowing Christ is our Savior and placing our confidence in the Word of God gives us strength to overcome the world. All we have to do is obey the Word of God. And just like the child going down to get the item, we can get to the desired destination. We can navigate through the world if we just obey what God says. The problem is navigating through the world and keeping God's Word before me without getting distracted. Because along the way of life in the world, there's going to be a lot of distractions. a lot of things that I can get led astray by.
Amen.
And so when you look at this, so many Christians live in fear and doubt that they will not be able to defeat temptation. Yet we can have strong confidence by trusting and obeying the Bible. Just like you gave your child the instructions to find the item, you know where it's at. God knows where he wants us to be at. And God gives us the instructions to navigate through the world. And we can do it with his power. I read you this closing statement here. It says, a Christian who has the proper perspective of the Bible realizes that the best is yet to come. There may be days when it looks like the world is winning, but we can have confidence because we already know Jesus is victorious. Have you ever taped a ball game and watched it after you found out who won?
Oh, yeah.
Even if your team gets way behind early in the game, knowing the final outcome gives you peace while you wait for the result you know is coming. My son, he likes Golden State Warriors, and so every now and again, he'll ask me tape him a game.
Yeah.
Now, if the Warriors lose, he didn't want to watch the game.
No, he doesn't. That's true.
Because he knows the outcome.
Uh-huh.
But he wanted me to tape the game last night that Golden State had, and they were losing by 15, 16 points.
Wow.
And I told him, I said, son, they're losing. He's like, I don't think I want to watch that game. I said, but son, guess what? They came back and won. He said, well, okay, I'm going to watch that game. So even though he's going to get to the part where they're down 16, 17 points, it looks like they're going to lose. In the back of his mind, what does he know?
They're going to win.
He knows already. They're going to win.
Yep.
And so what we're doing here is we know that if we are in the world and there's a timetable to be in the world, then we know that we can trust God in the world and he's given us his word to guide us and navigate us through the world. We have the advantage with the word, because we know what the end result is going to be if we follow the word. So now G2 can watch the game in peace.
Amen.
Knowing that his team won.
Yep.
We can look at God's word and follow it and say, I know I can navigate through this world.
Mm-hmm.
Is the world going to throw us some things that we don't understand?
Ooh, yes.
Is it going to throw us some tricks in our homework? Yes.
Ooh, yes.
Is it going to throw us some curves on the quiz? Yes.
Ooh, yes.
Might there be a test that seems unfair, Shane? Yes.
There you go.
But guess what? If we know the word of God, we can navigate through it all. And we can get the victory.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what it's all about. Amen. I'll give you these last couple blanks and then we'll be done. Roman number 3. Faith in God's person. A, Jesus is the anointed one. B, Jesus is the appointed one. And then see, Jesus is the all-powerful one. Yes, Roman number 3, faith in God's person. A, Jesus is the anointed one. B, Jesus is the appointed one. And then see, Jesus is the all-powerful one. I like what it says there before Roman numeral 3, thy words were found and I did eat them. Thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of mine heart, for I am called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts. God's word strengthens our faith, replaces doubt with joy, gives us strength to overcome the world. Faith in God's person. Just quickly, Jesus is the overcomer. Notice you've got that verse down there, John 16:33. These things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world ye shall have what? Tribulation.
Tribulation.
Be of good cheer. So Shane, when you get that unfair test, tribulation. Be of good cheer. Have a smile, though. Shane's like, smile? A test like that? It's unfair. And it is, but if you go talk to the teacher, you never know how it might be. Amen. We gain the victory over the world only through Christ. We must have faith in the simple truth that Jesus is the Savior. He's already purchased the victory for us. So I've got to have faith in his person. I got to believe that God is. What does it say? But he that cometh to God must believe that he what? He is. And he is what? A rewarder of them that what? Diligently seek him. I got to believe that he is, first of all. I got to have faith in the person of God, that he can give me victory over the world. I can live in this world successfully. Jesus Christ did it.
Mm-hmm.
And if he did it, guess what? I can do it. Guess what? Your children can do it. Guess what? Grandma and grandpa can do it.
Amen, Pastor.
Fanny Crosby, a blind person, she could do it. Amen. If anybody had the right to be against the world, it was her. And so I've got to have faith in God's person. I'm already having faith in his precepts, and I'm already having faith in his purpose, that I know I'm in this world, and I know I've got to do some things in this world, and I know his word can guide me through it. But it's not about all that. It's about having him and a relationship with him. And if I have that relationship with him, I'll understand that he is the anointed one. John talked about believing that Jesus is the Christ in 1 John 5:1. Christ means he's the anointed one or the Messiah. And Jesus was the Messiah and God in the flesh. By the way, go over to Colossians 2:9. I'll show you a great verse here. I like this. Whenever you kind of get to the point where you say, well, you know, I don't know if Jesus can help me in my problem in the world. Colossians chapter 2 and verse 9. Let me get somebody to read that. Who's there can read it? Colossians 2:9. Rose, read that for me. For in him dwelleth all. What does that verse mean? What is that talking about? In him, talking about Christ, dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. What does that mean? In him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Because we're talking about faith in God's person. What does that mean? Rose? He is everything we need. He is. But now, what does that verse contain? In him, in Christ, dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. What is that saying? Serge? All-powerful, omniscient. Everything that you see in God is in Jesus. Everything that you see in the Holy Spirit is in Jesus.
Oh, amen.
It's dwelling all the fullness of the Godhead, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. All of that is in Christ. So when you see him, you see the complete package. You see the whole deal. You see God the Father. What did Thomas say? Show us the Father and it's the 5,000. He said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father.
That's right.
Why? In me dwells all the fullness. Mm-hmm. So if you've seen me, you've seen God. I'm just in the form that you can actually look upon and not fall down, amen, and be consumed, amen. And we're going to pick up with this next week, amen. Let's use that as a memory verse for next week, Colossians 2:9. It'll be our memory verse. That's a good verse to meditate on. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And we'll finish this up and go into the next lesson, which is going to be victory over scoffers. You all have those, whether they be relatives, whether they be coworkers. You all have scoffers. You just stand for Jesus any length of time and you'll find them. So memory verse Colossians 2:9, talking about faith in God's person. Amen. It's all boiling down to that. Victory over the world is going to come as we understand we've got to have faith in God's purpose. There's a timetable for us to be in the world. We've got to be trusting God in the world. Faith in his precepts. We've got to make sure that we prove our love. It's going to provide us strength while we're in the world. But then faith in God's person. He's the anointed one. He's the appointed one. He's the all-powerful one. So I've got to keep my faith and trust in him, on him, in the world to make it. Amen. Father, thank you so much for loving us. Guide us down through our next session as we get into the morning service. And I pray, Lord, you would bless and everything that we think, say, and do. And Lord, I have your hands on refreshments as well. Thank you for the opportunity to provide for us in Jesus' name. Amen.